should say as it is, we find much about Jabez, only in a few verses. And today, you may ask me, okay, why do we go back on a Sunday morning in the 21st century? Why do we go back to an Old Testament story or scripture to find something that is relevant for me today? And the reason is that because we're reading the inspired Word of God, number one. Number two is the scripture says that the scriptures were given for our what? For our learning. It's always good to go back and look at the lives of others. In the present day, we can pick up a biography. And now, of course, John Newton, I was just reading the other day about John Newton and his life story. How encouraging it was for me to read about his life and how God worked in his life. I think today one of the things that we all long for or yearn for is experiencing God in our lives, or to read of others who experience God in their lives. How can we experience God? We can experience God in many ways. But here in the life of Jabez, God answered his prayer. It's interesting as we consider the scripture and the number of times that prayer is mentioned. The first time prayer is mentioned is in Genesis 4 and 26. It says that Seth had a son, Enosh. At that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. Oh, today, wouldn't it be wonderful as a nation that people would call on the name of the Lord? Sometimes we just seem to be at wit's end as to where to turn in our personal lives as well as a country. And when we leave God out, just remember, we are doing it on our own. Prayer is mentioned 650 times, I understand, in Scripture. 450 of those are recorded as being answered. Does God answer every prayer? Not necessarily. Someone has said, just recently, and the author said, okay, God answers prayer many times immediately. But for those he doesn't answer immediately, what he's saying is, trust me. Just trust me. Yes, God may want us to wait. Jesus prayed 25 different times. But I love what Martin Luther says. He said, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Isn't that interesting? To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. What can we learn from the prayer of Jabez? First of all, it's the only place it's recorded in Scripture is in 1 Chronicles. Now, Jewish tradition is that Ezra, the scribe, the priest scribe, we have a book after his name in the Old Testament, he was the one who wrote the Chronicles. And it's interesting as we find that as if it was Ezra that wrote it, he comes to the descendants of Judah. Now, if you go back to chapter 1, and we're not going to do that this morning, he starts with Adam, okay, and the descendants. And he comes to Judah, and it's in the lineage or descendants of Judah that we find Jabez is mentioned. What is mentioned is that he was an honorable man. Now, I'm going to ask you a question this morning before we move on, and that is, what is your identity? If you were to capsulize your life, what would you want to be remembered for or as? For could be the things we did, owning the most land, being financially prosperous, all of our achievements, or would it be like Jabez, that he was more honorable than his brothers? Wow. You know what the Bible says? A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. There's a lot of people in this world today who don't take that seriously, do they? They don't care about their name. They excuse me. All they care about is, excuse me, themselves and how it might benefit them. But Jabez, he was more honorable. What does it mean to be more honorable? Well, he was a man of integrity. He was a man that you could trust. He was a man whose name, his name was good. When somebody said about Jabez, referring to him, yes, you can trust him. He's a good man. He's an upright man. He's an honest man. We like dealing with people like Jabez, don't we? Isn't it great that when we deal with people whose word is good, or they say something, we know that it's going to come to pass. We know that in their lifestyle, how they live, they're upright people. You trust them. You would trust them with your bank account. Today, you would trust them being around your children. You would trust them being around your wife. Yes, he was an honorable individual. And what does it go on to say? Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. What I find interesting as I read through these first few chapters of the book of Chronicles, if we go into chapter 2, and you don't have to turn to it this morning, but I want to read this. Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the Lord's sight, so the Lord put him to death. What a contrast. And the descendants of Judah. One was a wicked man, so wicked that God put him to death. But then we find as the writer, and as he comes to Jabez, oh, Jabez was an honorable man. If we go back to chapter 2, there was a city possibly named after Jabez. And it was the town where the scribes apparently lived. So, needless to say, Jabez was not only an honorable man, but if that were the case, to name a name after him? Interesting, this morning came down the back road here, I don't know what you call it, but my wife asked me if we were to turn left at the first road, and I believe it was called Sutherland Road. Sutherland, still name that today. But you know, so who comes to mind in my life over the last almost 50 years? Who lived on there? Geordie Sutherland. Now, I have a lot of fond memories of Geordie because I knew him many years ago. Well, yes, we can have a road named after us. We can have a town named after us. And if we were Peter Robinson, you'd have a city named after you. It's not Gary Robinson, just in case you were mistaken. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother named him that name. Why? Because it was in birth. It says, I gave birth to him in pain. Now, we don't know what caused the pain. Was it birth pain? It could be. But, you know, it had to be very extreme for it to be mentioned, because I understand, I've never given birth, but I understand that all births, if it's natural, there's a great deal of pain involved. Now, and she named him Jabez, which means pain. Now, I wonder if some of you today, your mother would have called you Jabez after she got to know you a little bit better. There's some people in life, we say they're a real pain. A real pain. I don't know if I ever mentioned or not before, but my brother was in the timber industry, and he had a number of men employed, and some of the guys, they gave nicknames. One guy's name was Fluffy, and another guy's name was Cletus, and so on. But there was one guy whose name was Hemorrhoid. I think you get the idea. Jabez was born in pain. What caused the pain, we don't know. Was it a severe pain as a result of giving birth to her son? Was there something else that she lost? Was it property? Was it family members? We don't know. All we know is that she named her son Jabez. Now, as we move on in the story in verse 10, it says that Jabez cried out to the God of Israel. What do we find out about Jabez? Well, whatever his mother was going through did not deter him from trusting in God. And when he prayed to the God of Israel. That's important, isn't it? Whom we're praying to. I believe that people today in this world have many ideas of who God is, what God is like. But it's the God of Israel. It's the God of Jacob. It's the God of the nation of Israel. It's the one who revealed himself to Abraham also, to Isaac and to Jacob. Okay, so here we find that the God that Jabez cried out to was the God that led the children of Israel through the Red Sea. The God who preserved them in their wilderness journey. It was the God who constantly revealed himself and made a covenant with his people. He was the covenant-making God. And so Jabez, he cried out to the God of Israel. And what did he pray? Well, the first thing he prayed was, "Oh, that you would bless me." Now, let's just stop there for a moment, because have you ever said to someone, "May God bless you?" And people respond by saying, "He always does. He always does." Now, it's hard to continue on the idea of blessing when they say that, isn't it? May God bless you. He always does. Okay, I'll go to the next person because maybe God doesn't bless them. But anyway, oh, that God would bless me. Blessing can be either spiritual or temporal. Now, we think of the life of Job. God blessed Job. Job was an upright man. God gave him a large family, lots of servants, lots of livestock. He was wealthy, but Job still loved God. He was upright. He was blameless. But what happened to those temporal blessings? The temporal blessings were taken away, weren't they? Now, for the child of God in the church age, we have spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus. We go to Ephesians chapter 1. There we find a list of all the spiritual blessings, and these blessings cannot be taken away from us. Today, I wonder what we're pursuing or what we're wanting when we ask God to bless us. Is it for our own selfish? There's no problem in God blessing us, might I say, if the blessing is that we might help in the blessing, we might help others. If it's selfish, I believe it's wrong. As far as temporal blessing, is there anything wrong with God blessing us in a temporal way where we can in turn turn around and bless others? Absolutely not. Maybe sometimes we're afraid to ask because we think it's wrong to ask for things. But for whom are we asking them? Is it for ourselves or is it for others? He cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me." Now, I want to just stop for a moment today, because I don't think there's anything, if we were honest, that we'd want more than the blessing or the favor of God in our lives. When it's all said and done, when we look back over life or our life, what kind of favor? Do we want the favor of men and women, as it were? Do we want the applaud, the approval of our fellow mankind? Or do we want, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Do we want God's blessing? See, God gives us those things that are good. All good and perfect gifts come down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. So as God gives us good things, wow, those good things in return should be used for what? Oh, not for our own selfish desires, but used for others in the furtherance of the kingdom. God has blessed some people with financial means, and they're the kind of people can write out a check for $1 million to large Christian colleges, or it could be television companies, churches who have telecasts. They can write out amounts like that. God has blessed them. But in their abundance, they want to bless others. Jabez cries to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory." Lord, was it that he wanted more land? Possibly. But the idea was that he wanted to have a greater influence on others. Okay? He wanted to be able to have a greater influence. I wonder sometimes in our lives, do we desire, oh God, that we could have a greater impact on those in our community and those that are abroad? And that will not happen unless God blesses us. So we find it from the life of Jabez that he was an honorable man, he was a man of prayer, and Jabez, I believe, wanted to bless others. He wanted to be a blessing to others. Just something I read here not long ago that I thought was kind of interesting. Some of us are getting up there. Yes. We're on the downward slope. And I hear people say, "Why does God keep me here? Why?" Because there's someone out there that still needs you. Oh, God needs us, yes. But God can work through you to minister to someone who is out there. Now, the interesting thing is that how can we minister? Well, we can minister in just small ways. It might be with a cheery voice. It could be with a smile. It could be with a positive attitude. Yes. It could be in our dealings that they see that we're upright, we're honorable, we're a respectful individual. Yes, those things, isn't it interesting that those little things make life so pleasant? But what makes life not so pleasant? Well, let's just flip that over. Someone wearing a frown, someone who's always critical. If you ever walked down the street and smiled at somebody and they looked at you as though there's something wrong with you? Sure you have. What are you taking today? It's not even legalized yet and you're on it. Yeah. Well, what makes you so happy? Business dealing. You know, there's nothing worse. We know that we have to pay our way through life. But there's nothing worse than realize that somebody ripped me off. He said such and such. He went against his word. And how do we feel? We feel terrible. That lingers in our mind. But what I'm getting at today is simply this. We can bless others just by being honorable individuals, just in such simple ways that it doesn't have to be that we have to have great lands, okay, pieces of real estate. We don't have to have all kinds of money. We can just be what God wants us to be. And that is simply that we reveal the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Jabez cried to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. I just want to, just one more time. Folks, is life about me and my little world? Or is my life about reaching out and blessing and impacting others through our lives, through the preaching of the Word of God or the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? Folks, if we want purpose, if we want meaning, there we have it, right there. What does he say? Let your hand, oh my goodness, oh that you would bless me, enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me. He was a godly man, Jabez. Why? How can I say that? Well, Jabez asked for something, but he says, oh God, may your hand be with me. A little something I did, a little research, brief. I looked at the hand of God in Scripture. Oh, it's precious. When we think of the hand of God, we talked about being blessed of God, having God's blessing. In other words, we can say, was the hand of God upon him? Ezra the scribe, when he returned to his homeland from captivity, what did he acknowledge? He acknowledged in chapter 8 of his book, and also in chapter 7, three times in chapter 8, the hand of God was upon us. The hand of God was upon us. How could he say that? Because they were 4 months in journey from captivity to their homeland. They brought articles with them for the temple. They had monies. And guess what? They look back. Ah, no thieves robbed them. Why? Because the hand of God was upon them. Oh, folks, today, that the hand of God, we need the hand of God in our lives. Sometimes when our parents put their hand upon us, it didn't particularly mean it was a hand of protection. But, you know, we loved to be in the security of the hand of our parents. Isaiah chapter 40, read it. What does Isaiah the prophet say? Oh, he takes those little lambs and he picks them up. It's Gary Robinson's translation. He picks up those little lambs and he puts them in his arms and he draws them to his chest, the hand of God. Oh, today, the prophet described, drew a picture, word picture, of what God would do for his people. Pick us up when we're feeble, we're vulnerable. What does the hand of God do? It brings it to the heart of God. Beautiful. But folks, the hand of God, that's not the end of the hand of God. We go over to John chapter 10. What do we find there? Oh, he talks about his sheep again. But what does he go on to say? Oh, no man shall pluck them out of my hand, the place of security, nor out of the Father's hand. I always refer to that as double protection. We're in the hand of Christ and the hand of God. Double protection. Today, as God's people, we can experience the hand. We have experienced, we continue to experience that eternal security. But oh, that we would have the hand of God, of God's favor upon our lives. That makes life worthwhile. That makes life meaningful. And it brings praise to our Heavenly Father. Oh, that you would bless me, that you would enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me. Notice what he says, keep me from what? From harm. Sounds like the Lord's Prayer, doesn't it? Sounds like the Lord's Prayer. That deliver us from evil. Folks, harm. We can bring so much harm upon our own lives. My wife and I were just discussing the other day. In an individual's life, decisions. There's consequences when we disobey God. There's consequences when we're not wise about the decisions we make in life. And then what? Then we wonder why harm comes upon our lives. Keep us from harm. How close? Someone said, we're only one step from temptation. We can bring harm upon our lives. You know, we can live a whole life seeking to be honorable, a respectable individual, and blow it in one decision. Wow. Lord, keep me from harm. So you know why? So I will be free from pain. Isn't that interesting? So I will be free from pain. He had experienced something of the emotional pain his mother went through, or I shouldn't say the physical pain, but the pain of his mother caused emotional pain also in his life. But it was a lesson. He didn't want pain to be brought to his life. He wanted to be free from pain. How do we keep free from pain? Oh, Psalm 1, I believe has the answer. What does that say? Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the seat of the scornful. Let me go to that. I thought I had that down pat. But let's just go to Psalm 1 because it is powerful. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the mockers or the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Then he goes on to say, not so the wicked. How can we have the favor of God? How can we keep ourselves from harm in our lives? I believe Paul, in the book of Ephesians, gives us a clue as well, and that is put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to withstand in that evil day. So we have the whole armor of God. We have the Word of God. Now, here's something interesting as we talked about the life of Ezra. Ezra was a scribe. What did the scribe do? Well, they meticulously copied the scripture. They were experts. They were in regards to the law. And as I said, most meticulous as they copied the scripture. Now, they were respected individuals. But because that Ezra was a scribe, I believe one reason, and he knew the law, he knew the scripture, when he was allowed to go back from captivity after 70 years, the Israelites were in captivity, as he was allowed to go back, number one, Zerubbabel, he went back and rebuilt the temple. Nehemiah was responsible for rebuilding the walls, and Ezra was responsible for bringing what? I'm going to call it religious reform, to restore the worship back home in Jerusalem. Why? Because I believe as he read the Word of God, as he meticulously wrote down the Word of God, as he studied it and knew the law, what God's requirements were. Pretty important if we're going to do what God wants us to do. And so when he came back into the land, he restored the worship in the temple. And also, folks, there were some things that the people were doing that were against the Word of God. And he, in essence, brought revival. Why? Because he exposed them to the Word of God. Oh, folks, today, we have a tremendous challenge for us living in the 21st century to live according to the Word of God. And how do we know the Word of God? It's being meticulous as we study it, and we do it frequently. We saturate our minds with the Word of God, which obviously is the will of God. And how are we going to please God? By obeying his commands. Obeying his commands. So, in the life of Jabez, the prayer of Jabez, what do we learn? Well, first of all, Jabez, he was an honorable individual. He was a godly man. And it appears that Jabez knew how to pray. Because why? God granted him his request. The scripture says that we have not. Why? Because we ask not. Wow. We have not because we ask not. I just want to challenge you today. I don't think that Jabez's prayer is a formula for God answering all of our prayers. But I believe it's a challenge for us to pray for greater things in our lives. Wow. That we would not be just contented with the status quo, but wouldn't it be wonderful that we prayed that Grace Bible Chapel would grow to the extent that you'd have to tear down this building and build greater? Wouldn't that be great? But see, if we're contented with the status quo, we would never pray that. What about the fact that God would raise up in our midst individuals who would go out, not only into this community, but to be missionaries wherever? Are we afraid to put a number on it? Lord, please raise up 5 people. Let's go down like Abraham did. Let's work down 2. Let's go down to 2. Lord, could you raise up 2? Isn't it amazing how that when we put numbers on something, it's almost better to not put any numbers at all? Because it's easier to stay with the status quo than to be disappointed. But oh, what if God were to do so? I was somewhat disappointed. I worked with a country church. We needed leadership. We needed leadership. And we had an older congregation. Yes, we had some people, or young people. But we were hoping to get at least a couple couples, 2 couples, who were mid-age. Now, we put an age on it. We would have been happy to just have leaders, but to help assist. So I went to a local pastor, and I said, something I was wondering about is, do you suppose that there might be someone in your congregation that might be willing, God would burden them for the work that we're involved in, to want to come and help out in the area of leadership? And before I left, he gave me all the reasons why that there wouldn't be anybody there that would respond to it, that request. But you know, it's amazing what God can do. See, all I was asking is, would you make it known? And all you have to do is just say, if God's working in your life and this is what you want to do, or you feel you should do, we want you to honor God. But you know what I felt? I felt that he was being God. Needless to say, we didn't get any leaders. But see, God can do exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask or think. Lord, enlarge my territory. Lord, give me a greater sphere of impact in my life. Lord, may your good hand be upon me. We need the hand of God. Keep us from harm. And Father, oh God, don't allow me to suffer pain in my life. Oh, I want to stop there for a moment. It wasn't physical pain, I don't believe he's talking about. Because if you think that that's going to be eradicated or taken out of your life, some of you, I find as I get older, I just get more and more pain. Anybody experience the same here? Yeah, thanks for being honest. Yeah, but oh, the pain of misjudgment, the pain of not being wise, the pain of not obeying the word of God. And I've had people come to me and wept. And you know what? Why? Because they realized they put a mar on what they worked so long to acquire. Oh God, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever and ever. Amen. So let it be. Lord, shall we pray? Father, we just want to thank you today for your word. Thank you for men like Jabez, who was willing to step out of his comfort zone, desiring that he would have an impact upon others. And Father, we thank you that he desired that your good hand, your favor would be upon him. And Father, today, I know this is the desire of each heart here today, that they would have your favor in their lives. And Lord, as we've already quoted today, that you might say at the end of our life's journey, when we stand before you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Father, may the united blessing of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit go with each one this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see you next time, folks. God bless you.